Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Golden State Media Concepts Baseball Podcast. We cover everything Major League, from spring training to the World Series. We've got your favorite club covered, from New York to Boston to LA. This is the Golden State Media Concepts Baseball Podcast.
Thank you for tuning into the Golden State Media Concepts Baseball Podcast, where we the recap and discuss all things Major League Baseball. I'm Jeremiah.
And I am Ben.
Yeah. Hey, so we are 2 weeks away from the Major League Baseball playoffs, and the races here are getting really exciting. Everything is getting to the nitty gritty.
Yeah, not just the standings, but we have, you know, the award races getting down to nitty-gritty, as you mentioned. We have some big-time injuries to some really important teams, some really important positions. We're going to be talking about that as well. But first off, we're going to be talking about David Ortiz last night making some history, and the Boston Red Sox week, really, really impressive. They're 8-2 in their last 10 games, on a six-game winning streak. They've really stretched out that lead in the AL East. But the aforementioned Big Papi David Ortiz, in his farewell season at 40 years old, last night against the Orioles, David Ortiz hit his 36th home run of the season, which breaks a record formerly of Dave Kingman, that was part of the A's in 1986, for the most home runs in a player's final year. Kingman hit 35 that year. Now you have Ortiz at 36. And you still have 2 weeks left. Honestly, I could see him getting to 40.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised about that.
40 home runs at 40 years old.
Yeah.
That would be quite an accomplishment.
Yeah, and Kingman, when he had that record, he was 37. Ortiz is 40, so I think it's even more of a bigger accomplishment due to the age difference right there. And Ortiz has just been an absolute beast this year.
Yeah, absolutely. 36 home runs, 121 RBIs, at second in the American League. At 40 years old, I realize he's just a DH, so he's not fielding. But still, I mean, at that age, that's really impressive. He's probably having the best season of anyone over 40 that I can remember in really sports, period, not just baseball. You know, he's really doing everything he can, and the Boston Red Sox are really benefiting from that. So Ortiz said, after, you know, learning about the record, he said, "I'll have to hit a couple of more so nobody can reach me." Yeah. It's just a number I'm trying to just help this ball club. I don't really care about personal numbers. I care about winning. Which, you're not surprised, Ortiz, a member of multiple World Series teams, he's a team oriented guy. I'm sure, obviously, he might be saying this, but I'm sure he's a little happy about it personally.
Yeah, and he had 3 RBIs last night, which gave him 121 on the season, which is 3 shy of passing shoeless Joe Jackson for the most in a player's final season since, you know, RBI became the, you know, an official stat in 1920. So he has that too.
You got to think he's going to get.
He's probably going to get
at least 3, 4, 5 more RBIs.
Yeah, he's probably going to do that with home runs, because right, those are practically RBIs too. So
right, you know. Exactly. So with the Red Sox really benefiting from it, we mentioned, you know, 8-2 in their last 10 games, 6 wins in a row, some big-time wins, too, over the Orioles, have a 4-game lead now on the division.
And they swept the Yankees this past weekend, which was a huge series for both teams.
Do you think the Red Sox are going to hold on to this division lead and win the division now? They have a 4-game lead.
I do, because, you know, I saw some absolutely great performances from their pitching staff this week, especially Rick Porcello, who can pitch a complete game in 89 pitches. You know, and
a lot of first times.
Yeah, and we'll probably talk about Purcell later in our final segment in the award races. But I really do think that the Red Sox are going to finally hold this league. You know, we've been talking about this division for months now. You know, it was so tight. Each team was like within two games, within one. They were tied at one point. But I do think the Red Sox clearly show that they're the best team in this division. You know, they even got an MVP candidate in Mookie Betts, who we'll talk about later in the show. And then they're getting a lot of great production from their young guys like Xander Bogaerts. And you got Jackie Bradley Jr., who finally came to life this year. So I really do think that this team is going to hold on to the lead because they just – honestly, it's amazing how they got better this week. You know, they're playing great at the right time.
Absolutely. That's what I was going to say. They're playing their best baseball at the right time, right at the end of the season, and you can carry that into the postseason. You mentioned a lot of the great players the Red Sox have. One guy who's, I think, kind of getting swept under the rug, not really mentioning, is Dustin Pedroia at second base. He's hitting .325. Yeah. That's second in the American League.
Yeah, he's having a really good season.
He's having a great season. A former MVP in his own right. You know, a good defensive player as well, a good leader, experienced guy for some of these young guys you mentioned, especially in the infield, the outfield.
So don't forget about Hanley Ramirez, too.
Right, over there at third base. He's having a great season as well. So I think what you said is really, really right. They're just playing good at the right time. And you can carry that into the postseason. In the American League, you have teams like Texas. You probably have Cleveland to worry about. And in the wild card, it looks to me, I mean, obviously it's still winding down. You still have a lot of teams in the mix. You have Houston, Seattle, Detroit, all within three games of Baltimore and Toronto. But I still say that Toronto and Baltimore are going to be the wild card teams. So if you look at the American League playoff picture, how good do you think the Red Sox are? Do you think they're capable of beating Texas, beating Cleveland?
Oh, well, when it comes to Texas, I still think Texas is the best, you know, team in the American League. So maybe that team will be a challenge for this team. Because remember, they are good, but at the end of the day, they're also young as well. You know, they got a couple young players who are going to be phenomenal stars in baseball in the future. And the Indians, you know, they kind of fell off a little bit, but, you know, their pitching rotation has taken a hit with Carlos Carrasco, you know, being out for the rest of the year. And you know, they got a couple injuries in that pitching rotation as well. You know, Danny Salazar, he's been on the DL. So maybe they can probably beat the Indians because of their rotation is hurt. And that pitch rotation is pretty much all it comes down to in the playoffs. And Texas Rangers, they have a pretty good rotation as well. And when it comes to the and they also have a really good lineup, you know, for the Rangers.
Right.
And when it comes to the wild card standings, you know, Baltimore and Toronto, they are pretty much, you know, in the lead right now. So they can definitely beat those teams. You know, the Blue Jays. You know, they kind of have fallen off a little bit the past couple of weeks. They are 5-5 in their last 10 games. Baltimore Orioles are 5-5 as well, and they lost two straight games, which are happened to be to the Red Sox, by the way. So they have the capability to beat the two wild card teams. But the only team that really worries me in the matchup is probably the Texas Rangers. I just think that's the team on paper that is pretty much looks better than them.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would tend to agree with you. The one thing with Texas is I don't think they have – I mean, I realize Boston doesn't have a strong pitching staff either, but I don't think Texas has a strong pitching staff as well. You know, they're obviously – same thing with Boston, do a lot of it with their hitting. In the playoffs, you have to lean more on your pitching as opposed to your hitting. The Red Sox have Rick Porcello, who's having a great season. I realize David Price is not having a good season, but he's still an experienced pitcher, can really sort of provide some leadership, some good playoff experience to this team. I think the one thing the Rangers are going to have on the Red Sox is we still have a couple of weeks left, but they have the lead as far as record-wise, so they would have some home field, that home ballpark out there in Arlington, as opposed to going to Fenway Park, which is never easy to win in, especially playoff time, that ruckus crowd and everything. So I do think they have that going their way, but I think as far as an experience and a leadership standpoint goes, I have to give it to Boston because they have players that have won multiple World Series.
Yeah.
Leaders on their team, Ortiz, Pedroia. On the pitching staff, you have Porcello and David Price. So I think Texas is probably a better team. But I think at the end of the day, I think the Red Sox maybe have a little bit better of a pitching rotation, a little better bullpen. I think they can maybe give them a run for their money. I think I'm along with you. Cleveland kind of runs out of it. They had a great season, a great story. But I think they just got injured at the wrong times. And then you look at Baltimore and Toronto. with those two teams, they're both very capable. I'd probably give the edge to Baltimore because their bullpen is so good. Think about Zach Britton. He hasn't even blown a save all year. So he goes in there and it's lights out. So if they have a lead, you know he's going to close the door. But it is, in my opinion, between Boston and Texas. I could honestly see like a 7-game series if that were if that was like the ALCS or something. I could
honestly
see.
That's something I kind of want to see, a 7-game series between Red Sox and Texas. And when it comes to 7-game series, anyone can win that 7th game. So that's what's so great about the playoffs. I do think the Rangers have a slightly better rotation because they got Cole Hamels. Yu Darvish is probably, he might come back for the playoffs, which would be huge. Kobe Lewis is going to come back, probably be the third starter in their playoffs. And for that reason, I do think their rotation is slightly better. But I think both lineups for Boston and Texas are kind of equally matched in a way. They're equally matched. And it's going to be fun if these two teams happen to play each other in the ALCS. Seeing these two offenses, these two lineups, going head-to-head each other, we can have like a really we can have high scores in every game, or we can practically have low scores. That's the good thing about both of these teams. They have the ability to score runs, or they have the ability to, pitch, too. So that's the thing. These are my two teams to have in the ALCS to contend for the World Series.
Yeah, I agree. And as always, with the playoffs coming here as soon as a couple of weeks, we will keep you updated. We're going to be previewing matchups, breaking down series, recapping them here at the GSMC Baseball Podcast. But with that being said, we're going to take our first break of the show. Coming out of the break, we're going to talk more about the wild cards. But on the NL side, we currently have a 3-team tie atop the wild card race. A lot of good games, a lot of good series over the weekends. And then we have a couple of pitchers who are injured, affecting both of these teams. So we're going to talk about that right after this break here at the Golden State Media Concepts Baseball Podcast.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Baseball Podcast. And we have a tight race in National League Wild Card. 3 teams are tied for the 2 spots.
Yeah, all 3 teams at 80 and 71. So the Cardinals, the Mets, and the Giants, all with the same record. As far as both these teams go, you have some injury concerns, not necessarily with the Cardinals, but with the Giants and with the Mets, so within the last few days. So for the Mets, you have Jacob DeGrom. He's getting shut down for the rest of the year with an ulnar nerve. Okay, so he's done for the rest of the year. And then last night, you had Johnny Cueto pitch for the Giants. Pitched good. He pitched about 6 innings. It was a 2-0 win. So he pitched good, but he's going to have an MRI today to determine an injury for his left groin. So we'll have to see how that goes with Cueto. Obviously, on the West Coast, it's still really early in the morning, so we don't have any news on that as it stands. But he went on to say, I felt uncomfortable. It was really bothering me, so I didn't finish the inning. I kind of checked out of the game. So good news for the Giants to get the win. Obviously, a really important game. All these games are important. They just had a couple of really important series with the Cardinals, with the Dodgers. But without Cueto, who I would say has probably been their best pitcher this year, which is tough to say because they have people like Madison Bumgarner, But I think Cueto's been their best pitcher this year. If he can't go right around the end of the season, I think that's going to be a big loss for San Francisco.
Definitely, and especially with this bullpen, the way that they've been playing this past. They blow 28 saves this whole season.
And Santiago Garcia's blown 9 of them his own
exactly.
way.
Exactly. So they're like one of the worst teams in protecting the one-run leads. So that's the thing that really worries me about the Giants. It's a bullpen, honestly. And you cannot win a championship with a bullpen like that, especially with teams that you're going to face. practically.
Yeah, good pitching. Look at Chicago, Washington, exactly. The Dodgers with Clayton Kershaw. You're going to be facing some good pitching. And to go with the Giants, they're struggling bullpen. Really, they just struggle with hitting. You know, Brandon Crawford exited the game last night as well. He's arguably maybe the best shortstop in the game.
He's been their most consistent player this whole year, which is a huge loss for them. Buster Posey only has 13 home runs, and he's like supposed to be their big bat in this lineup, and he has been kind of disappointing when it comes to home runs. He still, you know, has a 290 average around there, and they're just not getting production from you know, they're not scoring runs. You know, they don't know how to score extra base hits. And this rotation really this rotation is okay, but with Cueto, I don't know how this team is going to you know, play in the postseason, because if the Giants were happen to make the wild card spot, I think they would have put Cueto as their
number one,
and then they put Bumgarner at two.
Okay, I mean,
you can go either way with one of them, you know?
Right? There's, and then you even throw in Samardzija, who's not having probably the year a lot of Giants fans would have hoped, but yeah. He's still over 500. He's still having a decent year, so you can sort of pencil him in there at number three. You have Matt Moore maybe to be your fourth starter if you want to only roll with four. So,
which I think they will. I think they will roll with four, because they got Suarez right now as the fifth guy. He doesn't have much, you know, starting, you know, pitching playoff experience. Matt Moore has looked good at times this year. You know, he nearly no-hit the Dodgers. He did throw 11 strikeouts last week. So he's been a little inconsistent, just like Samardzija. But, you know, the rotation, they could compete with anybody in, you know, the National League. But the bullpen and, you know, the hitting simply is just something that they don't have that. And I wouldn't be surprised if they don't make it for that reason. You know, I'm surprised they're still in it, to be honest with you.
The Giants?
Yeah, I'm surprised they're still in it with the amount of saves that they've blown.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of have to kind of take it on the chin. You know, think about if they would have converted half of those saves. They'd be up there with one of the best records in the league. You
they
know
probably
I mean?
Would have been in the leading the National League West right now if they didn't blow half of those.
It's just like at the last opportunity, those key moments, you have to sort of slam the door. And no matter who they've put in there, really, Santiago Casilla, Hunter Strickland, Sergio Romo, they haven't really been able to get it done. You know what I mean? They seem to do great with the starting pitching, and then really everything just collapses right there. And, I mean, it's really tough because you have two solid teams that you're battling against for the wild card spots between the Cardinals and the Mets.
When you look at all three of these teams' schedule, the Mets have the easiest schedule. You know, they're playing Atlanta tonight, and then they have a four-game series against Philadelphia this weekend. After that, they have a three-game series at Miami. In Miami, you know, they were, you know, pretty good at the end, middle of the year, but they have falling off, which we both expected to be, and they play Philadelphia for the last three games of the season. So they have the easiest schedule out of these three teams. And the Cardinals, you know, they play the Cubs this weekend, they play Colorado tonight for the series finale, then they play Cincinnati for four games. And, you know, they're not an easy team, but then again, you know, Cincinnati, they don't have good pitching, and they play Pittsburgh Pirates for the final three games. And when you look at the Giants schedule, you know, they play the Dodgers one more time this week. They play San Diego this weekend, a 40-game series. Then after that, they play Colorado next Tuesday through next Thursday, which leads to the final series against the Dodgers, which could be a huge one for both teams. We don't know. The Dodgers might be not the Dodgers. The Giants might be out of contention at that point, but we don't know. They still might be. So of these three teams, the Mets are probably most likely going to be in the wild card because of the schedule, and then maybe the fact that the Cardinals play the Cubs kind of gives me a little bit of hope for the Giants, but I still see the Cardinals as getting that second wild card spot just because, you know, they've just been more consistent than the Giants have.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. I was going to say I think the Mets and the Cardinals are going to be the wild card teams because I just have more faith in them. I don't have much trust in the San Francisco Giants
now. It's scary. Like, I'm a Giants fan. I grew up a San Francisco Giants fan, and that ninth inning makes me nervous. It makes probably any fan, even if I wasn't a fan of the Giants, it would have made me nervous the ninth inning with the lead. You're not comfortable with it. Like, no. they have to be up like 5-0, and they don't have the bats to do that right now. Their bats are just not hitting.
Yeah, I remember a game last week. I think it was Wednesday. It was Cueto's last start before last night. They were playing the Cardinals. They ended up winning 6-2, and they were up 4-2, and it was the eighth inning, and then Denard Span got a two-run hit to make it 6-2. But I was watching the game, and I was like, you know what? With how bad the Giants' bullpen is right now, I would just keep Cueto in the whole game. I'd let him go until, you know, see what happens. And he actually did have a complete game that night. Obviously, he got a little more run cushion. But even at 4-2, I was telling myself, like, if I was Bruce Bochy, the Giants' manager, I would just keep Cueto in the whole rest of the game. He's capable of throwing a complete game. He's been your best pitcher all year. I'm not going to turn it over to the bullpen where you literally are just on your edge of your toes and just hoping, praying that they can close the door and get the save, because you really don't know at this point.
Yeah, and the Giants pretty much brought torture back. I'm not sure if you knew about that.
Yeah,
you know,
torture. Yeah, Brian Wilson, torture baseball.
Yeah, you know,
Kuchenkeib,
you know, the Giants broadcaster, they said Giants baseball torture. You know, they kind of brought that back in a way, but, you know, it's even more than torture now because they're blowing, you know, leads. I remember a couple of weeks ago, the Giants were playing the Padres, and they were up 4-1, and then they lost that game 5-4 in a 3-1 home run.
Right, and right, like, in the ninth inning, yeah.
They were at home, too. So yeah. I hate to say it, but, you know, despite the Giants still in there, I just don't have faith in them, you know, clinching the wild card spot. It's just that bullpen just basically scares me, you know. And
I agree.
That's basically all it is. It's the bullpen.
I like I said, I have more trust in the Cardinals and the Mets. The Mets are a team in the World Series last year. The Cardinals seem to always be in the playoffs. I have to expect they're going to be there again this year. And I just don't have much faith in the Giants, you know. But this is a team that seems to always let people down and then always recoup and do good.
Yeah,
think about all those come-from-behind series they had in their World Series run two years ago.
In 2012. Yeah, no, and it's... Honestly, though,
you can't count them out.
You can't count them out, but I just don't have as much faith as the Mets and Cardinals. You know, you never know. If they happen to get in, we don't know at that point.
Right, I agree. And we will always be monitoring it here at the GSMC Baseball Podcast, because 1 week can really change everything.
Exactly.
Think about Boston last week. They had a 2-game lead. Now they stretched it to 4-6 wins in a row. They're playing great. Looks like they have really a stranglehold in that division. Who knows? Maybe one of these two teams. The Cardinals are currently on a 4-game win streak. Maybe next week we'll be talking about them on a 10-game win streak, or the Giants on a 6-game win streak, or the Mets on a 4-game losing streak. You know, everything happens so fast in baseball because they play every day. There's always so much to talk about. So that's the great thing.
Nah, next week's show, though, it will be exciting for that reason.
Exactly. We'll have to update you on the NL and AL wildcard races, because anything can happen. You know, in American League, there's still a lot of teams trying to claw their way up there, as the Tigers are, as one of them. So with that being said, we're going to take our final break here at the GSMC Baseball Podcast. Coming out of the break, we're going to talk about some award chases that are getting really interesting here at the end of the season. So we'll be right back. Don't you guys go anywhere.
Are you looking for the very best NFL and college football podcast? Then check out the GSMC Football Podcast. Get the latest football news, both on and off the field. From the NFL draft to trades to the rumor mill to the NFL combines, they got you covered. That's gsmcpodcast.com/football-podcast. Get updates on college rivalries, game day insights, and much, much more. It's football talk the way you want it. This show eats, sleeps, and breathes football. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
And welcome back into the Golden State Media Concepts Baseball Podcast. With the last segment of the show, Jeremiah and I will be talking about some really close award races, because I feel like the Rookie of the Years, we have a good idea.
Yeah,
I think we Corey Seager on the National side. Michael Fulmer is probably the favorite, the pitcher for the Tigers on the American League side. But with the MVP and the Cy Young, even in the National League, the batting title is still really, really close. You know what I mean? We have to update you here so you get a good idea. Maybe you can sort of predict with your friends or your coworkers who you think is going to win as well. So why don't I start with the American League? So with the American League, obviously Jose Altuve still dominating the average. But Dustin Pedroia not far behind at 325. I would still expect Altuve to win that award, right? Yeah, he's been so consistent all year. You got to think he's going to keep it. You know what I mean? So, with that being said, let's move in to the MVP. This is tough. You know, there's a lot of good people that could win this award. You know, think about Mike Trout. He's got the highest WAR of anybody. Mark Trumbo's having a great offensive year, but not really doing too much as far as average-wise. Brian Dozier's been kind of the dark horse, in my opinion, as the leadoff hitter for the Twins, hitting so many home runs with 41 and 98 RBIs as a leadoff guy.
Can you just imagine what he would do with a really good team around him?
Put him on the Red Sox. Exactly. You know what I mean? MVP.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Because I think a lot of times the fact that people are on really bad teams really hurts their chances of winning big awards because they get unnoticed. The only one I can really think about was A-Rod with the Rangers winning the MVP as a last-place team. The Twins would be the same thing if Dozier were able to do it. I don't really think so, but, I mean, it's possible. And anything's possible.
Yes, and the MVP race for the American League, it's tough to call. You know, you got guys like even Mookie Betts. You know, he's playing well. You can even throw David Ortiz in there if you want to. He's been that good. Jose Altuve, which is a guy I think he will be considered for the award, even though his team might miss the playoffs. But it is tough to call for this American League MVP race. You know, it's tough to pick a favorite right now, honestly.
Exactly.
It is so tough to pick a favorite. There's so many guys. We can even have a co-MVP award.
I hate those. They've done that in football before. I remember Brett Favre winning a co-MVP, and I just hate that. Like, you really can't determine one or the other. Like, come on, man.
No, but come on, man.
I hate that.
But I'm saying, like, there's so many good guys. I wouldn't be surprised if they did that. And don't get me wrong, a co-MVP I don't really like either because it's like saying, like, you know, you guys are not good enough for first place, so you guys both are second place. That's basically what it says to me.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah. You mentioned David Ortiz, and I guess you can throw Edwin Encarnacion in the mix. He leads the American League in home runs. I'm sorry, no, he's second with 42. He leads the American League in RBI with 123. But I think it's going to be tough for them because they're DHs. They don't play in the field, so you just have their hitting stats to look at. I think that really hurts them. And I guess you can say it's fair because you don't play in the field. You don't have that whole another aspect to your game. There's a lot of guys, though, that I think really have a shot at this. You mentioned Mookie Betts. He's a strong favorite. He scores so many runs. He has 115 runs.
I think Manny Machado can be in there too. You got Josh Donaldson. You know, he won it last year. There's just way too close of a race to pretty much pick a favorite because, honestly, the three guys I mentioned, Machado, Betts, and Donaldson, they can easily win the award. I wouldn't be surprised about it. You know, it's just tough to call, you know?
You mentioned Jose Altuve. I'm not going to say he's my favorite, but if the season ended right now, I'd probably vote for him.
And the season ends in 2 weeks.
So. Right, so it's really close. So I think maybe if someone could have a good, strong couple of weeks, think about what Gary Sanchez has done with the Yankees. If someone could do that to separate themselves from everyone else, then they have a good possibility. I don't think Jose Altuve is that guy because he's hit a lot of home runs this year at 24, but he's not obviously hitting him out of the ballpark every game like Sanchez was for a while. But I'm going to say Altuve is my favorite right now because he has the highest average. Think about what he's doing as a leadoff guy. 24 home runs, that's a career high. 94 RBIs as a leadoff guy, that's quite impressive. He can steal bases. He's a good fielder. I think he means everything to the Astros. I think he's really the reason that they're even two games back of a wild card spot right now. So I'm going to say Altuve.
If I had to pick a favorite, I'm going to go with Mookie Betts. I'm going to go with Betts. You know, he's been one of the best players and, you know, probably one of the best teams in the American League. I know they got David Ortiz on there, but, man, Betts is he's been really consistent, for that matter, and he is his WAR is 8.9. That's the most important thing I look at when I talk about MVPs is the WAR.
Yeah, you wins how, above replacement.
You know, how valuable are you a team? And he's valuable. You know, and, you know, like you said, Mike Trout earlier had a, you know, award of 10. Betts is literally in second with the 8.9. So the fact that Betts is on a better team than Trout, I think that will probably take that in consideration.
It's possible. I mean, he's having a great season, a really surprising season. I don't think anyone really expected.
No, I don't think anyone did.
Even Xander Bogaerts, he's kind of fallen off, but he's still having a good year. Jackie Bradley Jr. had a hitting streak of 29 games earlier in the year, so I think it's possible. You know what I mean? Okay, let's go to the Cy Young Award.
All right.
You know, a few weeks ago, if you would have asked us this question, I think I could have thrown out like 500 names because no one was really separating themselves. No one's really having an impressive season. But I guess you can say there's probably maybe 2 to 3 guys who you can reasonably look at winning this award. Obviously, I think you have to start with Porcello of the Red Sox. He's 21-4. He's got the most wins in baseball. His ERA is just above 3. So his ERA is not too good. But the Red Sox provide so much run support, you're going to win so many games. Look at David Price has 16 wins with an ERA close to 4. You know what I mean? So because they provide so much run support, you get a lot of wins with them. So I think Porcello's there. You have J.A. Happ at 20-4 with an ERA of 3.28. So he's just behind Porcello. Porcello's numbers are a little more impressive. You know what I mean? More strikeouts as well, less walks. So I think he's more impressive. But the dark horse has to be Zach Britton of the Orioles. He hasn't even blown a save.
He's been a dark horse candidate for a while, you know, and we even talked about him like a couple months ago. But if I had to, it's tough to pick a favorite in this too, but if I had to pick someone, I'm just going to throw it out there. Let's give Zach Britton the award, you know?
It's possible.
Him the award.
Think about what Eric Gagne did with the Dodgers a while back. He won the award. He had, I don't think I even remember how many saves he had in a row. I think it was over 100 or something. But he had the record for most saves not getting blown in a row. You have Zach Britton at 45 saves. His ERA is 0.59. I realize he pitches for the most time one inning a game, so that's not much to go off of. But, you know, 67 strikeouts to 61 in a third innings pitch, so he's striking a lot of guys out. His ERA is 0.59. Doesn't really walk anybody. He's been a lot to Baltimore. I think, obviously, a team like the Giants would love to have a guy like Zach Britton. You know what I mean?
Oh,
think about how many
me?
More wins they would have had.
You kidding me? They would love to have Zach Britton.
So, Zach Britton's probably the dark horse. I think, at the end of the day, it's tough to give it to a closer. A lot of times, they don't really look at things like that. I mentioned Gagne did win it. You've seen pitchers win MVP awards, Kershaw, Verlander. But I think at the end of the day, they give it to Porcello, unless he really implodes in his last few starts. I think he's probably the favorite.
Yeah, and Porcello, you know, he's been looking really good. And I remember a couple years ago, they gave him that extension. And then some people, you know, gave it a lot of negative criticism because they extended him. And, like, what has Porcello done lately? Well, that extension looks pretty good now. You know, he has emerged probably their top pitcher this year. And that's saying a lot.
Yeah, you have people like David Price there, you know. So I would agree. But, you know, like I said, I think his numbers kind of are skewed because he gets so much run support with Boston. They score more runs than anybody. It doesn't really stand out to me. Like, if you look in the NL, which we'll talk about, there's so many guys with ERAs so more impressive but weaker records because they just don't get the support. And obviously you can't really fault Porcello for that. It's not like he has a choice or say in the matter. But it doesn't really stick out, you know what I mean? Like, it's not necessarily deserved, but it doesn't resonate as much to me. So
yeah, and that's why I decided to go with Zach Britton because, you know, he is – if he's in the game, you know, you better, like, just go home.
Yeah, you know it's over.
It's over.
You know, you even if it's a one-run game.
Go ahead and beat traffic because it's over.
Even if it's a one-run game, you know that he's going to slam the door on you.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's move over to the National League side. Probably the most intriguing matchup I think everyone's going to look at in the last 2 weeks is the batting crown.
You have
DJ LeMahieu from the Colorado Rockies, and then you have Daniel Murphy of the Nationals. They're separated by 2 percentage points. You have LeMahieu at 349. You have Murphy at 347.
Yeah, it's a pretty close race. We talked about this batting title race.
It's even closer now, though.
It's even closer. Yes, and at one point it was up to close as a decimal point. That's how close it was. And, you know, LeMahieu has the benefit of hitting that cross field. Murphy, man, the year that he's having, he can possibly be a MVP candidate National League. That's the type of year he's having.
Yeah, I agree.
And what has Murphy done? It seems like he's carried that momentum since last postseason. And that was like literally a year ago. So the fact that he's still keeping it like up to that pace is unbelievable. But LeMahieu... I think he might win it basically because he hits at Coors Field.
Yeah, hitter's ballpark.
Kind of gives him a little bit of advantage there.
I agree.
So that's why I think LeMahieu might come up on top in that race.
How crazy would it be if they ended in a tie? Like they ended, they both ended at like 3:45.
That would be kind of crazy. Remember, it's the co-champion, something that you hate. Yeah.
Yeah, but the stats prove that it that needs to be. So it's
that
a little different.
Yeah,
there.
That is true. You know though. I mean? Yeah. That
but that's a little different. So, that, I mean, that's a close race. That's one thing we're going to be monitoring here as well. So let's look at the MVP now for the NL. My favorite's probably Chris Bryant. He's having a great season for the Cubs, who in their own right are having a great season. He's got 37 home runs at second in the NL. He's hitting .296, which is not great, but it's not terrible. The one thing I think that might hurt him is he's only got 97 RBIs. He hits a lot of home runs, but no one's ever on base.
Yeah.
So he can't really have that number stand out. But he's been probably the Cubs' best player. He's the best player on the best team. A lot of times, you kind of have to take that into consideration.
And another guy that you got to talk about is Anthony Rizzo, his teammate, who I think could be the best player on this team. You know, it's pretty. You can make an argument for either one of them. You say about the thing about the RBIs for Chris Bryant. Well, Rizzo has 104. And his average is just like 3 points lower than Bryant is.
And he has six less home runs than Chris Bryant.
Exactly. He has six less home runs. But, you know, both of these guys, when they're up at the plate, you know, they're dangerous. You know, and it's amazing how the Cubs have two MVP candidates. That's how of a good year they're having. Either one of these guys are probably going to win the award.
You think so?
I think it's either going to be Chris Bryant or Anthony Rizzo.
So, with that being said, who do you think is going to be the favorite? Who do you think wins it at season ended now?
You know what? For the if the season would have ended now, I think I would have to go with I'm going to go with Rizzo. I think I'm going to go with Rizzo.
Okay, why Rizzo?
It's kind of like a toss up between one of them.
Okay.
You want to know why? Because I just flipped the coin. I'm kidding.
Oh, but, I was like, oh, did you? What? No, was okay. Heads Rizzo when you landed on heads? Like,
the reason why Rizzo, I think, will win the MVP award because, you know, he has a strikeout less and he has more RBIs. You know, he's taking more walks. Even though he has hit, you know, less home runs, you know, he's been a really good player for them. But the thing that Chris Bryant does have over Rizzo is the WAR, the wins above replacement. That is something that is also big.
Yeah, it's a stat that you kind of think, oh, that's really, no one takes that into consideration. But I guess you have to, and I'm not a big fan of that because how can you really honestly say what someone's wins above replacement is without actually them being out? It's just a analytics thing. Think about Clayton Kershaw. He probably has one of the highest WARs, and they did just fine without him.
Yeah.
So how much can you really put into that? I think it's kind of skewed, but it's still a stat that you kind of have to look at. So let's move on to the Cy Young for the NL. This is where things get really, really interesting because there's a lot of guys who are capable of winning this award.
Yes, there are lots of guys. You know, like we talked about Kyle Hendricks last week. He's someone that can win. You know, even I don't think Clayton Kershaw is going to win the award. You know, he's been out for so long.
He's out of it. I don't know if he'll qualify for sort of the minimum with innings pitched and stuff because he was gone for so long. So I think you can sort of throw him out.
Yeah, so Kyle Hendricks looks like he could be the favorite. You have to consider Max Scherzer. He's been a monster when it comes to strikeouts. John Lester has also been well. And, you know, you got Jake Arrieta. You can't forget about him. I think the dark horse kind of is Jose Fernandez. He's not because of the team he's on. He's had a phenomenal year. But if I had, you know, and you can't forget about Johnny Cueto either, you know. But if I honestly think, you know, if you had to pick one, I wouldn't be surprised if Kyle Hendricks wins the award.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would, if the season ended now, I'd actually go Lester.
Yeah.
Lester's 18-4, so he's got three more wins than Hendricks and four less losses. So that gets looked at. His ERA is 2.36 as opposed to Hendricks at 2.06. So ERA differential of only 0.3. Lester has more strikeouts. He has just a few more walks than him. So they're both having great seasons. I think Lester maybe sticks out a little more because of the wins and loss thing. But when I look at sort of pitching in general with baseball, the one thing I find really interesting is that we're just a few weeks from the end of the season. So you look at pitchers probably have two, maybe three at the most starts left in them. We only have two 20-game winners. You have J.A. Happ with 20 and Rick Porcello with 21 in Boston. If you would have looked at this stat 5, 6, 7 years ago, you would see at least 10 people with 20 wins. Now you're seeing maybe we get one or two more. So maybe we're looking, I'll say at the max five. We're looking at 5 20-game winners. Shows you how much that pitching has changed. It shows you how much hitting has changed.
Yes, and I do agree with you then. And I remember a couple years ago, it was known as Year of the Pitcher because there were so many good pitchers at one point. And but getting back to, you know, to the my favorite here, I don't have to go with Kyle Hendricks on this. He is a dark horse, but he has improved literally in every start. He hasn't, and he can possibly be the, I'm not saying they should do this, but he can possibly be the Cubs' number one starter in the playoffs. That he's been that good. And you think of a rotation of Jake Arrieta and John Lester, that's pretty good.
Yeah, so, definitely. Even John Lackey is doing
exactly.
Great. He's got
Jason
a lot of
Hamill as well.
He's got a lot of postseason experience. Think about all the time he spent with the Angels. So, all right, real quick before we end the show, comeback player of the year has to be Matt Kemp, right?
Maybe.
31 home runs, 100 RBIs. And it seems like he's always hurt. He's finally healthy. He's having a great season.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he did win it because of that, you know, reason. You know, he went to a pretty bad team, and he's probably going to be there for a while.
He's
pretty much stuck there, which is a very unfortunate. But I think my comeback player of the year is probably Mark Trumbo.
Okay, yeah. He leads the majors in home runs of 43. It's possible. You know, I think maybe with the AL and NL differential, though, you'll have like two different awards. So that's one thing I'm interested that baseball does is they have awards for different leagues. You look at every other sport, they just have one award.
Exactly, for the whole thing. Unless it's like for football, for example, the only thing I can think of is, you know, they have the NFC and AFC defense and offensive player of the year.
Right.
That's the only award they have for both. But when it comes to MVP, it's like the whole league.
Okay, so let's have a little fun here.
Yeah.
So we talked about our respective favorites or predictions for MVP, Cy Young, batting, whatever, for both leagues. Let's say we put them all together. We can only give one Cy Young and one MVP. Who are they going to?
Okay, if we had to give one, the one MVP is kind of hard because there's so many good players in the American League.
Exactly.
Yeah.
American League's most known for its hitting. The National League's most known for its pitching. But if we can only combine one, who gets it?
Okay, for the Cy Young, I'll probably have to go with that's actually still tough also because I had Hendricks winning the National League and I had Zach Britton winning the American, but if you put it all together,
right,
there's no way Zach Britton's going to win the award when it comes everyone combined.
So you're going to say Hendricks all combined?
I'm not saying that. But it's tough to say.
Obviously, it's not going
to
happen. So we're just having a little fun.
It's tough to say, though. You know, and MVP, if I had to pick one for the whole entire, you know, league, I'm going to have to go with the best team in baseball. I'm going to have to go with someone. I'm going to have to. He was my MVP pick for the National League. He's on the best team in all baseball. So I'm going to have to go with him.
So, of course, I'm going to stick with my predictions.
Yeah.
The NL's pitching, so I'll give Lester the Cy Young. And then the AL's hitting, so I'll give Altuve the MVP. But, obviously, it's not going to happen, so we're just having some fun.
Yeah, so I might as well take Hendricks for the Cy Young, too, because I picked him to win the National League.
So you expect the Cubs to sweep it all.
Yeah, man.
They
are the best team in the majors.
That is so true. In my opinion, by a landslide.
Yeah.
But with that being said, that is going to conclude our episode of the show today. Only doing one from now on, but we're always going to have a lot of great news and content for you. Think about playoff time. We're going to just be jam-packed with a lot of great series to predict and pitching matchups and breakout stars and all that great stuff. So with that being said, we're going to end this episode of the show here at the GSMC Baseball Podcast. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter. It's at @GSMC_baseball. You can find us on a lot of great platforms for media playback, iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play. You can find us on YouTube and Facebook. Just search the GSMC Baseball Podcast on those respective websites. And last but not least, you can find us on our podcast network's homepage. That is gsmcpodcast.com.
And if you guys can't get enough of Ben and I, we're going to do the football show Fridays as well.
Yes, we'll be on the football show on Friday. Jeremiah also does the fantasy football show.
Yes.
I do the sports show and the soccer show. So Jeremiah and myself both have quite a few shows here in the studio that we like to do.
Yeah, and I enjoy them all.
As do I, my friend, as do I. But with that being said, that's going to conclude this episode. We'd like to thank you for listening. Signing off is Ben.
And I'm Jeremiah.
And we will see you guys next week with another great episode here at the GSMC Baseball Podcast.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.